With Laura Fox
podcast. I don't know if I have sold this enough, to put it mildly, but I know it's not been that cold this November, but it is all changing this week, and I think we can probably feel it in the air this morning. So the big question a lot of people have, if you are as skin obsessed as I am, is how can we help our skin survive the big chill? So we asked Jennifer Rock, who is the CEO and founder of Skingredients and the Skin Nerd, to come in and tell us all about it. Jennifer, how are you?
Lottie, I'm actually cold looking at you. Like, you're wearing a beautiful little string top, but it's so cold outside.
See, we had a little in-studio incident this morning that listeners are unaware of, but my studio exploded earlier on this morning, and I had to change studios while we were live on air. So I'm sweating. So you're in the big heavy coat, and I'm in the little tank top.
You can really feel it this morning, as you say. And then automatically, what starts to happen, we see it in our DMs. People message saying, okay, what do I do? Because you've often been taught about skincare being a seasonality piece. So in the summer you do A, B, C, D, but in the winter it's slightly different. So I suppose when we think about the reality of it is the change in temperature does have an impact on the skin in two ways, really. Mainly it has an impact on your hydration levels. So a lot of people will say my skin feels tighter, taut, it looks slightly more lethargic, dull, and that's usually due to the fact that we're getting a lot less water into our skin. So example, I'm sitting in the car on the way in here and I have the heat on blaring into my face. Then I get out of the car and I scurry in here, my big coat. So again, I'm having the two extremes of heat. Again, it's a dry heat. There's no humidity in it. There's no moisture in it. So as a result, it's called trans-epidermal water loss. I'm not going to have a quiz at the end. It's a bit of a mouthful, but we call it basically a tool. So what it means is that your skin is, the water is evaporating, so you just don't tend to have as much that plumpness, that juiciness that you're more likely to have in the summer months.
So my version of that, I think, is my skin will get very flaky at this time of year, and I would notice it mostly because when I'm putting my makeup on, I will see it not getting crusty, but flaky is the only way I can describe it. So how can we combat those things?
Lottie, I adore your social media, and so I just think you have the most beautiful skin. I think genetically you've been gifted beautiful skin, so thanks to your folks.
Thank you. But
secondly, you really care for your skin. I think when you really care for your skin, then all of a sudden, as you say, you start putting your regular makeup on top of your skin and it's changing. It's that control piece that you're not sure what's happening, why is it doing it? And it can get you down, and you know, it obviously takes more time in the morning and so on and so forth. So ultimately what you're looking at is your skin is void of more moisture. So people will tend to say things like get more hyaluronic acid into the skin, which I'm a big believer in. Now, interesting point for those that know what hyaluronic is, it's essentially an ingredient we naturally have inside us. From 30 onwards, it goes a little bit of a lifelong kind of a holiday package. Like, it's a lot less in the skin, which is really frustrating, but ultimately it actually attracts water to the skin. So when you think about it in an area like this, or if you're out and about, there's not that moisture in the skin. So hyaluronic's job is to take moisture from the air around it, but now it doesn't have that. So hyaluronic in the winter isn't my go-to ingredient because it can't actually perform as it's supposed to. So I'm a big fan of ingredients like ceramides, glycerine, so what we call humectants or emollients. So an emollient is something that literally locks that moisture into the skin.
So where do we get those?
Typically in your moisturizers. They're usually like that kind of more balmy texture. They have a little bit more weight to it. So in the summer where we like our gels and our lightweight, we tend to opt, like even just instinctively, we tend to opt for that thicker texture and sensation in the winter months. But I'm always going to say it, it's that inside out approach. So really looking after your skin inside does have a big impact. I wish it didn't, Lottie. I wish I could say here's product X and just that's all we have to use. But really getting essential fatty acids into our diet in whatever way that is for you, be it your nuts, your seeds, your fish, your oil intake, if it is adding in an addition, and I say an addition because a supplement is on top of a good diet, but getting your omegas into your skin really does make a big difference. It's literally like your skin's internal moisturizer, and it's kind of like a cheat. So saving you buying, you know, sheet masks and exfoliating products and so on and so forth, you actually just hydrate the skin from inside your skin cell, because when you eat something, it obviously goes internal. That makes a huge difference.
I think that I didn't realize how important supplements were, and obviously I'm only speaking from a personal perspective because everybody is so different when it comes to skin. Like, and I really can't stress that enough, because I was victim to this myself growing up, seeing things on social media and thinking, oh my God, her skin or his skin looks so amazing, that's going to work for me. And then you do it for yourself and it doesn't work. Yeah. So for me, what I learned was, when I stopped taking my supplements, my skin went a bit haywire. And it was only then that I realized, oh, holy crap, they were really doing a good job.
But that they say that so much about supplements. And I always, I'm a big believer in trying to encourage people just to take a note. And I don't mean like an entire diary, but just take a note on the 1st of October, example, how's my skin feeling? 1st of November, what difference do I see? 1st of December, okay, and usually what starts to happen, like with the gym, it takes time. Mm. It's not an overnight impact. I wish it was, but it usually isn't, particularly if you're trying to really repair deeper down. Another thing to be aware of this time of the year, and obviously I would always encourage you to go to your doctor, but vitamin D has a huge part to do with our healing ability, our skin's natural exfoliation rate. If you think about it, look at a little child, like if you look at Wolf, like their skin just exfoliates itself, it naturally turns over, and then we get a little bit older and it doesn't happen, and we tend to lean on granules and acids and exfoliations, but actually things like being void of vitamin D in the winter, so getting a blood test to see, and this is separate to skin, just a health piece, there's actually huge, and a lot of our clients will tell us in the skin there, there's a correlation between if they're not getting the correct supplements into their life. So speak to your pharmacist, speak to your doctor and see what you might be voiding. And Lottie, I'll be honest, when it's winter, you come home, it's dark, 4 or 5. I tend to be, you know, more inclined to sit on the couch and have a few little nibbles in the evening. Or I'm not as likely to want to eat as well. Or, you know, unless I've been very organised. And I shouldn't say I do not do the cooking in my house at all.
But neither do I. It's okay.
We've got great partners. But the point is, it's just the food that you're putting in tends to be more comfort food. And if it's more inflammatory food, that has a knock-on effect. So really what I suppose I'm saying is, it's about getting hydration in. It's about really understanding if you're dehydrated or dry. So can I make men? Turn to that for a hot second. So if your skin is dry, it means you're genetically prone to dry skin. It's what you've been gifted. It's your skin type, as we call it. Whereas dehydration is when you feel taut and cracked, and like what you're saying, a little bit of shedding, but it's not your norm, it's circumstantial. So it's typically a weather scenario like now.
Okay.
So that's where you're going back to getting like your spritzes, or like I said, the Omegas, but ultimately it's trying to get all those like beautiful hydrating masks onto the skin, but just see them like a winter product. So don't invest heavily in it. Don't, you know, you're only using them a couple of times a week during a 12-week period perhaps, and just being mindful that you're not spending an arm and a leg. You don't have to spend an arm and a leg to get the ingredients like ceramides, glycerines and emollients into the skin.
So we're talking about a nice heavy moisturizer, and then we're talking about, if you were to give people their top three supplements to invest in, what would it be?
Oh goodness, I'm always going to say, I think a multivitamin in general, again checking with your doctor or your pharm if you need it. Omegas are always, I mean look, they help the brain, the heart, the arteries in general, but definitely from a skin perspective. And then vitamin C. So this time of the year we tend to find, particularly those of us that have Celtic blood inside us, we tend to find that there's a lot of redness coming through and creeping through, corner of the nose, blowing the nose, seeing that kind of what we call telangiectasia, so bronch pillories on our face, diffuse redness from that extremity of into the car, into the heat, etc. So vitamin C internally is definitely one, and vitamin C externally is definitely an underrated ingredient. Retinoids have gotten so much love of late, and I do love them, but, and that's a whole different segment and something I've touched on before, but ascorbic acid or vitamin C in its purest sense is unbelievable for calming, hydrating, giving a glow to the skin, great for pigment. A lot of the realities that we tend to see at this time of the year, so that's one to consider too, in a serum format. So really it's cleanse, something hydrating, something like an ascorbic acid, which is your vitamin C, something like your vitamin A, and then an SPF. You still need an SPF in the winter.
See, the people News need alert. To realise this. SPF is just so, so important. And I think if you get the right SPF, sometimes if you're looking after your skin and it's in good nick, the right SPF can make you feel like you don't really need to put on a full face of makeup.
Yeah, exactly. So SPF, I think we think sun protection factor, and in Ireland, myself included, I think sun, I think heat, and we're thinking there's no heat outside. Why are we talking about sun protection factor? It's daylight. It's definitely daylight. And massaging, I do love like a good old school, and we don't always get the time for it, but like a nice beautiful massage, like a cleansing,
a facial massage,
just to yourself at home.
Like what do you mean?
So just using your old paws, the hands, you know, really getting in, kneading, like getting that circulation into the skin will really help, A, for your products to work an awful lot better. B, it'll help the lymphatic system. It'll help the skin to become de-puffy.
Okay.
But in the winter time, it's definitely something to consider. So yeah, I actually
face
trained.
Massage.
Have you ever had buccal massage?
So I've had this done once.
Yes.
And I left speechless. Okay. Now, it's quite hard to make me speechless, but I actually
was
sat up going. Yeah, he really, really was. He was like, you should go once a week for that. But it was, I just wasn't expecting what it is. So if anybody's never heard of it, you basically have somebody putting their hands right inside your mouth, and it's for me, I didn't realise how much tension I actually hold in the back of my jaw.
So it's I actually only trained in this yesterday. There's an amazing lady called Facial Yoga by Agnes. You can't get an appointment with her. It's 2 years of a waiting list, but now she teaches therapists like myself. But treatments like that, you can actually learn to do it yourself at home. But the amount of tension that we hold within our jaw, within like all, you know, all of our sinus areas, but from a skin perspective, massaging manually, whether it's internal, as you say, which is slightly different for people, or external, literally just really kneading, like you're trying to bake something, like really getting into the skin tissue makes a huge difference. Again, we're trying to get heat into the skin, circulation into the skin when it's that slightly colder. You mightn't have the heat on, or the bathroom's cold, or you're just out of the shower. So yeah, definitely massaging is a key one.
Now, I've gotten a couple of questions in. Can I just ask you one or two very quickly? So we've got one in saying, have you got tips for dry skin in the face, particularly around the eyes?
So I'm not always an advocate of eye cream simply because I feel, and I mean this in the kindest way to my sector, which I adore, sometimes it's marketing led, meaning that, you know, they're telling you that you need a cleanser and a toner and a serum, and they all have the same ingredients and the eye cream is the same. But when people start to get quite dry around the eye in the wintertime, I do like a really minimalist eye cream that just feels divine on the skin. So it's not that it's promising to be anti-aging, it's just promising to shock the skin with a lot of hydration.
Okay.
So a really nice, lightweight, really affordable eye cream is ideal. Something like a spritz is ideal throughout the day. People don't think about spritzes. I love to call it spritz o'clock, but just getting moisture in throughout the day rather than just depending on the morning and the evening is something to consider.
Another one is somebody who has asked, should I start using retinol and vitamin C serum as a mask? Man in his 30s, and I'm currently using day and night men's cream and cleanser.
So I have a controversial answer for that one. I don't always advocate for the differentiation of gender skincare, because ultimately at the end of the day, whether you identify as male, female, or non-binary, the point is we all anatomy and physiology wise have, we all have capillaries, we all have, you know, I suppose we're all built the same way by and large. So when brands are marketed towards men or marketed towards women, typically I just don't feel that it's necessary. So for this person, I love this question, because retinol is needed, in inverted commas, by all, as is vitamin C. So my answer is absolutely yes. So quick whistle stop tour of what the retinol will do. It'll help with lines, wrinkles, aging, pigment, size of pores, color in the skin, discoloration. It's a yes. And vitamin C, as I said earlier, particularly in the winter months, ideal for redness. So together, just be careful that you don't use them on the same night as you get used to it. And regardless of gender, all of us are essentially made up of the same fundamental pieces.
That's a really good tip. And, you know, it's unfortunately going to allow my husband to continue using
steal
all my products, which is so annoying.
Lottie, my son went away for a lad's weekend a couple weekends ago and went into my bathroom like nothing there. You'd think I would have like sweets. I was like, what? Sorry, but isn't that brilliant? That
but we, at 20 I was going to say. Age,
he's going away with his lads and they're all using, you know, hyaluronic acid, ceramides.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very I
proud,
love
very
that.
Proud mom
I love
moment.
That. Jennifer, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
And if you want to find out more, what is your Instagram handle?
Yeah, come to us on the Skin Nerd or Skin Gradients. We'd love to chat to you.
That is Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skin Gradients and the Skin Nerd, and she will be back with us next month to talk all about how you can help your skin cope with the Christmas party season.
With Laura Fox Podcast.